live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out in Germantown. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jared Stillman, former tight receiver, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason out today. And it's a big Sunday between the Titans and the Bengals, a playoff rematch from a year ago as the Titans look to go to 8-3 today, 3 years in a row that they would be 8-3. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to our friends out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. Mm-hmm. Again, we talk about this place every time we're here. But in all fairness, we've done the pregame show for years, all different places around downtown. I have never been at a place that is 100%. Easier to get to pregame to the Titan Stadium than here. It is so incredibly easy. You just hook right out, right onto 65. You are right at the stadium. I mean, we leave here at 11:30, and I am in the seats before kickoff. It is so easy. And so come on out. They got great specials for every football whether it's Monday night, Thursday night, or Sunday during the day. They've got great drink specials for football. They got all the cabanas, and they've got Sunday tickets, so all the games will be on. Now, two things to address the start of the show. First off, what happened to the Ohio State Buckeyes, Chris Sanders? Man. Oh, I think we'll start right there with that one.
I am not in a good mood right now. I mean, if I had a cat, I probably would have put it outside. I'm so mad. But, you know, you just kind of look at the two tails of that game. I mean, you got the Ohio State Buckeyes that have great offensive players. They got a great quarterback. They're a finesse team. And then you got Michigan, who Harbaugh, that has a power game. And we just shows you that even if you play old-fashioned football, you still can win. I mean, they just went 21 personnel. I'm not trying to get technical about football, but they just hit Ohio State in the mouth.
Just say it. Just say it.
No, I'm
just
not going to say
Michigan's
it.
A better
no,
team.
No, they're
than
not
us.
A better. Okay. They are.
Say Michigan, okay, and say it's a better football program than us.
I can't say Michigan. They got to say Itchigan. We can't say M, so we got to say Itchigan.
Oh, they earned the M. just say they're a better football program than Ohio State.
They're not a better program, but they just were a better team at that time.
And last year.
Okay, time. Okay, they beat us the last two times, right? What happened the last six or seven times? Can we talk about that, sir?
No, we cannot.
Why?
That didn't happen yesterday. All right, Titans to the Bengals. So I will, you know, this is the second thing to address. Last year, you were so confident that the Titans were going to just steamroll Cincinnati. And when you look back at that playoff game, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't throw three interceptions, they probably do, because the defense was so dominant against that Cincinnati offensive line, and the Titans really gave Cincinnati a lot in that football game. That being said, Cincinnati's a good team. And when I look at this stat, strength of victory across the AFC, it's like the strength of schedule in college football, except they only take into account the games you won. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Titans don't get any credit for losing to Kansas City because they didn't win. Every team in the AFC has the good teams, the Buffaloes, the Kansas Cities, the Baltimores. Every single one of those teams is at about like 45%, 47, 46, 45, that the opponent's records that they've beaten, about 45%.
Right.
The Titans are at 36%. Wow. The Titans have not beaten anybody good. The best team they beat, in my opinion, is the Washington Commanders, but they did that with Carson Wentz at quarterback and not Taylor Heinicke, who I think is playing good ball, which leads me to say, I think this is a big test today for the Titans, because I do think Cincinnati's a good football team.
I mean, they're a good football team, but they're not a great football team.
Sure.
What makes them great is their quarterback. We know Burrow is a guy who stands in the pocket and makes the plays, but the reason why I say the Titans are going to win, I think they're going to win big, is because the defense is playing off the chain. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Simmons, you got Weaver that's coming along, you got David Long, you got all those guys that are flying around on defense. I mean, because if you look at the last seven games, they held teams that are pretty – they were okay teams, but they held them below 20 points. I mean, you got the Chiefs, you got the Broncos, you got the Colts, you got the Texans, you got the Commanders, you got the Packers. They all were under 20 points. And in this league, you know, a lot of teams are scoring points. So when you're holding teams to 20 points or less, even if they're not that good, that just shows you that you're elite on the defense. And that's why I say that the Titans are going to beat the Cincinnati Bengals, is because their offensive line is giving up 32 sacks. When you're giving up 32 sacks and you're making mistakes, your defense is going to keep you in the game. That's why I say the Titans are going to definitely beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
So Mike Vrabel spent all week saying this is not a revenge game. This has nothing to do with last year.
What?
He said Jeffrey Simmons said that in the first team meeting of the week, Vrabel went in there and asked everybody who didn't play in the playoff game to raise their hand.
Larky.
And that half the room raised their hand, and that Simmons was kind of shocked by that. I really believe and this is just me, Chris.
Sure.
I really believe a lot of that is to protect Ryan Tannehill. Because last Great year's point. Playoff yep. game, I mean, let's just call it what. Tannehill, and I'm not, Tannehill's had a good season so far this
yes.
year. Tannehill lost them the game last year.
I disagree.
And I know you do. And it was like a traumatic experience for Ryan Tannehill. And I think Tannehill is in such a good spot mentally
yes.
that Vrabel doesn't want to put Tannehill back in that spot today against the Bengals. That spot will come when they make the playoffs, and there will be all the talk about what happened with Ryan Tannehill last year in the playoffs. But I do feel like, as far as last year's playoff game was concerned, you know, the way Tannehill played, that's still a big part of today's game.
You know, if you look at when at the beginning of camp, you know, he really wasn't talking about the situation that happened with Cincinnati. But once he started to talk about it, he talked about what he went through, the darkness, a dark time in his life to where he felt like he let the team down. You don't believe that's in the back of his mind in this game? So I think this is not just big for the Tennessee Titans organization. I think this is big for Ryan Tannehill in his personal life because he has to face something that he, you know, that beat him last year. So, you know, I think that if Ryan Tannehill gets over this hump, I really believe that this is going to propel this team into something special because they overcame adversity of what happened last year.
What do you make of the fact that I watch all these other games? Like, I watched all the Thanksgiving Day games.
Yeah.
I do not see a team that I think
100%.
Is head and shoulders better than the Titans. Like, I don't think the Titans are the best team in the
yes.
NFL. But I do not see a team in the league that is head and shoulders above the Titans. And I'll use Dallas as an example because for the first time in my adult life, I think I believe the Dallas Cowboys
They're
might
good.
Actually have a team that can compete for the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
And yet at the end of the day, I think about a Titans-Cowboys matchup. One sideline's going to have Mike McCarthy on it. One sideline's going to have Mike Vrabel on it. And Mike Vrabel, I think this year has been the year that Vrabel has proven that he's the best coach in the NFL. And so every game the Titans go into, they'll have the best coach in the league.
Yes.
I watched Buffalo against Detroit. I know they got it done. I know they've got a great quarterback. I know they've got a great receiver. But I'm not convinced that at this point, the way Buffalo's playing, that Buffalo's that much better than the Titans. We saw how the Titans matched up against Kansas City.
Yes.
I think if I'm Kansas City, I do not want any part of the Tennessee Titans in the AFC playoffs, even if that means at home at Arrowhead Stadium, because the Titans are not afraid to play on the road. That being said, the Titans haven't beaten a lot of good teams, but I just don't see a team out there right now that is head and shoulders better than the Titans.
I mean, we look at when they went against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, everybody's talking about their explosive offense and they're doing this and that, but the Titans were beating the Chiefs. they were actually beating the Chiefs. So, you know, I agree with you, Jared. I was looking at a lot of football this weekend, and there's no dominant team. And we talked a little bit about this off the air is, what's going on with the Buffalo Bills? I mean, this past week, they barely squeaked out a win. So, you know, if the Titans just keep playing consistent football on offense, defense, and special teams, Jared, they are right stinking there. I mean, I know they got some holes to fill. I know we talk about the receiver situation. I know Traylon Burks did great last week. But now, man, with that passing game coming along and that defense and Ryan Tannehill playing with confidence, I'm telling you, Jared, if the Titans keep playing football like this, this is a scary team in the playoffs.
What do we make, though, of the fact that the Titans haven't beaten any good teams yet?
But see, what do you mean by good teams? I mean, everybody in the NFL, I know their record says that they're bad, but you got to remember these are elite players. So, you know, even though they haven't played the good teams like we say, they're still beating them. I mean, I know it's kind of close, but, you know, just like what I think the quote that Byers said is, we're figuring out a way to win.
Sure.
And I know that sounds cliche-ish in his coach talk, but even though the Titans are not winning pretty, they're still finding ways to win.
So, no team that they've beaten, I think, is going to make the playoffs, right? Like, I don't think the Colts are going to make the playoffs. I don't think the Raiders are going to make the playoffs.
Commanders might.
I don't think the Packers are going to make the playoffs. Washington might.
Yeah.
But they beat Carson Wentz.
They did.
And they've been playing a lot better since they switched out Carson Wentz.
True.
So, they haven't beaten really any – Denver's not going to make the playoffs. So they haven't beaten any quote-unquote playoff teams. In 2020, I was down on the team. Now, they had an elite offense and a terrible defense.
Yeah.
And I was down on the team because I felt like they had a good enough offense to beat the bad teams, just to outscore them.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they got matched up in a playoff game, they wouldn't be able to beat a good team. And that ended up coming to fruition. They were one and done against the Ravens. I look at this team, and I think a lot of it is the loss to Kansas City and how close they played them, and that we know that if Ryan Tannehill played in that game,
right,
that they would have won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that and the fact that even though Green Bay stinks, like that was their last stand last week. You know, Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field at night and the Titans really took it to Green Bay. But there's still a little part of me that's uneasy about the fact that I don't feel like the Titans have beaten any playoff caliber teams this year. And today, I think this is a playoff caliber team that they are playing.
I mean, it is. But you remember what we talked about at the beginning of the season. We talk about these teams. We said the Chiefs are going to be good. They said the Broncos were going to be good. They said the Packers were going to be good. But then they come into the season and their record is bad.
Yeah, I'm only worried about the teams that are good.
No, I'm just saying, but those are teams that we thought they were going to be good, and then they weren't good in this season. So, you know, I know that you feel uneasy about the Cincinnati Bengals, but I just don't think that the Cincinnati Bengals are an elite team.
I'm not uneasy about the Bengals. I mean, I think the Bengals are good, I think the Titans could absolutely lose this game. I think the Titans – I mean, I don't know what the line has changed since the Jamar Chase news that he's out.
Is it one?
It opened at 3, okay. And now the news yesterday came down that Jamar Chase is out today.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if that shifted it or whatever. I thought when the line was 3, I thought the Titans should have been favored by 3 today instead of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But I still am a little uneasy about the fact that, like, if you told me that the Titans, because they've got a couple of games upcoming, you know, the Thursday night game against Dallas, and I have a lot of respect right now for the Cowboys. If you were to tell me they play the Eagles next week,
I'm not convinced on the Eagles.
I'm not either. If you were to tell me that the Titans win 2 out of these 3, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Dallas, then I would say, okay, this team is ready for the playoffs. This team, you know, I think they can compete with anybody. And I do, but I'm just uneasy because I haven't seen them beat playoff-caliber teams yet.
You know, but
and this is the next step today.
Agree. Those three teams are really, really good, Jared. But here's the thing is we're getting back healthy. I mean, we're getting a lot of healthy guys back. Is Hooker playing today?
Hooker's
in today. You got Dupree that's playing today, I think so. But when you're getting a lot of guys that were significant on your defense and everybody's healthy, that settles the uneasiness because your defense was playing good without them. So now you're getting all those guys back, and you're getting your safeties back, you're getting your DNs back, you're getting your linebackers back, you're getting your whole defensive guys back. Jared, I'm telling you, dude, this is a scary, scary dog on defense.
On the other side, we'll take a look at the top 4 storylines, and today we'll move the chains. Presented by TriStar Moving, we'll do that next. Again, the pregame show, Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman. We are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge again. They got all the TVs. They got Sunday Ticket. They got all the games. They got everything out here, and I'm telling you, this place is freaking awesome.
Yes,
so come on out to Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. And they are hanging up the Christmas decorations, which made me realize how late in the year it is.
Yes, it is.
And it kind of depresses me that 2022 is almost over. But maybe we'll make some New Year's resolutions not to turn the ball over 3 times in a playoff game in 2023. I almost said Stillman & Company. The pregame show right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The line has shifted, Titans and Bengals, to Bengals -1, which... Personally, I still think it's a little disrespectful to the Titans in the way they've been playing. And the only game they lost at home this year was against the Giants, in which they missed the 47-yard field goal.
Right.
But with that, we're live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, home of the pregame show. Again, come on out, watch your favorite team here. Of course, if it's the Titans, they'll have them on as well. They got their private cabanas and their drink specials as well. Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge right here. We'll be here with the pregame show until 11:30. It is time now to move the chains, presented by TriStar Moving. TriStar Moving, my official movers, TriStar Movers with 5-star service. I absolutely love them. We start with first down. The big news of the day, Jamar Chase is out for Cincinnati today, as is Joe Mixon. So Joe Burrow will still have T. Higgins. He'll still have Samaje Perine as his running back. But Joe Burrow last year absolutely creased the Titans throwing the football to Jamar Chase. He's their number one receiver. We see how important number one receivers are. Chase will be out another week for Cincinnati. Chris Sanders, what does that mean for you for a Titans defense that is getting Amani Hooker back? Christian Fulton is questionable today, but they will be without DeNico Autry.
I mean, it's good for our secondary. I think our secondary is playing pretty good. But the thing about it is we talk about Mixon, and you have Jamar Chase out. That's a huge part of their offense. I mean, even though those guys are not there, you still got some other guys. You got Boyd and Higgins that can make some plays. But I just think with our defense playing so well, I don't think it matters right now because the secondary is playing well. Fulton is playing off the chain. I'm not saying Fulton is there already to be a shutdown corner, but he's playing lights out. And then you got Byard that's playing well. And this is just secondary overall from the front to the back end is playing spectacular. So even though those guys are not even there, I don't think it would matter because I think the defense is playing off the doggone chain.
I think the one thing that's important is that I do think that this limits Cincinnati's speed. Both Nixon
yes.
and Chase, I think, have a lot of speed.
Yes.
Whereas Higgins is more of that big body
yes.
receiver.
Yep.
And so guys like Terrence Mitchell can run better with a T. Higgins and be physical as opposed to a Jamar Chase, who I don't think Terrence Mitchell can run with. And so Christian Fulton was questionable for the game today
right.
with a hamstring that's been kind of on and off. I do wonder if the Titans are going to see Jamar Chase out today and say, okay, let's hold Fulton out another week just to give him the 10 days from the Green Bay game, give him this week, and then have him ready to go next week against Philadelphia and A.J. Brown.
Absolutely not, because you got to remember, there's a guy on the other side named Higgins. I mean, I know he's not a Jamar Chase, but Higgins is one of those guys, that guy that can catch the 50-50 ball. So
but he's not a speed guy.
He's not a speed guy, but here's the thing. If Burrow gets in trouble, he can just throw the ball up and let him make plays. I don't want Shane Boyne to start to load the box and start to go man-to-man on the outside, and that's where we get in trouble because, you know, we don't want to put our corners on the island with Higgins and Boyd. You just don't want to do it. I understand that our secondary is playing pretty good, but Higgins is still an explosive wide receiver.
But are they going to need to load the box with no Joe Mixon in there with that Cincinnati offensive line?
That's the point that I'm making. I hope they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, you know, just keep it zone because you don't need to send some type of pressure from the safety position because your defensive line is getting some pressure. So I just don't want them to go man-to-man on outside, and then Burrow sees man-to-man. He throws it up and lets Higgins catch the Higgins or Boyd catch the ball. You just don't want to do these things. Let your defensive front make plays. Let your defense send some pressure, but don't get beat in the back, and that's the only thing that I'm concerned of.
That takes us to second down. Ryan Tannehill is coming off of his best performance of the season, probably his best performance
yes.
over the last 2 years, 22 of 27 at Green Bay, 333, two touchdowns, the interception I didn't like, but a
yeah.
QB rating of 127.3, he was outstanding.
Yes, he was.
Not only that, Treylon Burks, 7 for 111, Austin Hooper had two touchdowns, Robert Woods, 6 for 69, everybody played a role
yes,
in the pass
did.
Game on Thursday night last week against Green Bay. Chris Sanders, what did you make of that, and what did
Man.
You make of Tannehill's performance at Green Bay?
I love Tannehill. Tannehill, he just looked good from start to finish. He looked good in the pocket. He didn't look flustered. He threw the ball where only the receiver can catch it. I know we're talking about Tannehill right now, but I want to take my hat off to a guy that kind of makes you mad a lot. It's Ty Downey. And the reason why I said Ty Downey did a great job is the personnel that he brought in. We always talk about – I know you get mad sometimes.
When, I hate when they do this.
When Hollister comes in, you're like, oh, gosh, it's a running play.
I think they should play Hooper more.
They did it. Oh, gosh, there we go. But I know
two touchdowns.
He did for 36 yards, dangummit.
Two touchdowns.
But, yeah, but just go back to what we were talking about, the personnel. They went 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends, and one wide receiver. And as you're looking at that formation, what do you think is your defense? It's a run.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did is they put that formation out there, and you went one-on-one with Treylon Burks, and Treylon Burks makes the big-time catch. So it starts with the formation, and then it starts with Tannehill making the right read. He saw man-to-man on the outside. He just threw it up and let your receiver make the play. So I love what he did. I love him making the right decisions. And he just has a different look in his eyes as opposed to from last year.
How much of Thursday night's performance from Tannehill against the Packers was about Tannehill? And how much of it was the fact that this backup offensive line protected very well?
Yes, sir.
How much of it was the fact that Derrick Henry, even though he didn't break
yep.
any big runs, he kept Green Bay's defense
yep.
honest? How much of it was the fact that he finally had his entire receiving core
yeah.
intact? How much of it were the things outside of Tannehill, and how much of it was Tannehill?
You know, it was just a balanced offense. I mean, we always talked about, you know, the situation of, okay, they're just running the ball, they're running the ball, because that's the identity of the Tennessee Titans. But everything was balanced. You look at the passing game. I mean, you had a lot of guys who caught the ball. You had, Burks, you had Woods, you had, you know, Chig, you had Hooper. You had a lot of guys who catch the ball. But then on the flip side, Derrick Henry still got his runs. He still had 87 yards. So it just shows you that, you know, they're starting to figure out what to do on offense. When I say what to do on offense is, Are we a running team or a passing team? Yes, we're a running team, but still, we're going to throw on first down and mix it up, and I think that's what the difference was.
That takes us to third down. Mike Vrabel is the reigning NFL Coach of the Year. Mike Vrabel is 8-0 in his career coming off of extra rest as head coach of the Titans. They'll get the opportunity. I should say 9-0 because they won this year. However, they did lose last year with the extra rest in the playoffs against Cincinnati. But in the regular season, Vrabel does not lose with extra rest. The Titans have extra rest this week after the Thursday night game. Chris Sanders, I'm seeing some breakdowns as we're starting to enter the award season where people are talking about who should be the Heisman Trophy winner or the league MVP or offensive player of the year. And even though there have been some really impressive coaching performances this season across the NFL by guys where they weren't expected, like Brian Daboll with the Giants.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Nick Sirianni with the Eagles. There's a lot of chatter that Mike Vrabel might win Coach of the Year again. Chris, what do we make of Mike Vrabel and the performance he's put on this
Man,
season?
Man, it's just that what he does is he how can I say this? He makes everybody around him better. And the thing about the thing I love about him is how he handles and faces adversity. I mean, look at all the adversity that they went through this year. They had a situation with Tannehill. You know, they had a situation with the offensive line. They had a situation with so many guys out, and he consistently gets these guys ready. I mean, every time it's like we're like a broken record every single week. We got all these guys out. Well, how is the Titans going to do this? How are they going to beat this team? How are they going to go on the road and beat the Commanders with all these guys out? But every time Mike Vrabel gets these guys ready and figures out a way to win, that's the mark of a great coach. Mm-hmm. He pays attention to details. He doesn't make excuses. He faces adversity. And it's kind of like this. Just imagine taking my DNA and putting it in you. That means you have the same thing in me and that I'm putting in you. And that's exactly what he's putting into these players. He's never making excuses. He's never saying, okay, woe is me. He's taking out all his DNA and putting it in him, and those guys are following him and making those guys great.
If I told you when you were in college and you were teammates with Mike Vrabel at Ohio State, if I had said to you, hey, this guy is going to be the best coach in the NFL 20 years from now, would you have believed that, what you knew of him at that time?
Yes, absolutely. Because the reason why I say it is the way he worked, the way he paid attention to details, the way he practiced, the way he took ownership of his position, that's why I would say yes. And I'm not just saying it because it's cliche. I watched how he overcame adversity because when he first came into Ohio State, everybody was talking about how, you know, big and slow he was. He couldn't do this. All of a sudden, he makes the All Big Ten team. All of a sudden, he does some great things in spite of what the critics and the people say. So now he goes to the situation in the pros. He goes, everybody's talking about what he can do and all this stuff. He's already built for this because it started in college.
That takes us to our fourth and final down. Chris, do you know who Caleb Shudak is?
He played in Rocky, right?
He did not play in Rocky. Out today for the Titans is kicker Randy Bullock. He will not be in there. Josh Lambeau, who kicked last week against Green Bay, he has been cut. The Titans have added Caleb Shudak to their active 53-man roster. Caleb Shudak is a 25-year-old kicker from Iowa. The Titans signed him as an undrafted free agent in May of this year. And in 36 games for four seasons for Iowa, he was 24 of 29 with a program record 82.8%. Now, let me say this. I saw Caleb Shudak's last kick.
Is it Shudak?
It's Shudak.
Shudak. Okay.
I watched Caleb Shudak's last kick. I was standing on the sidelines during OTAs with Corey Curtis. And Corey Curtis at News 2 turned to me and he said that he thought Shudak was going to make the team. Now, Shudak looks like a tiny little baby out there on the football field. I mean, he might be 5'6". And so he's out there kicking, and he had a nice leg, and Corey Curtis goes, I think he's going to make the team. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not a huge Randy Bullock fan. Mm-hmm. And so Shudak goes up for a kick and just misses it. I mean, it was a horrendous kick, and he was like, well, I guess I shouldn't have said that. Shudak started grabbing his leg right after that. I thought it was loser's cramp. You know, I kick a bad kick. Oh, I was hurt. Uh-huh. The guy had been out until last week.
Wow.
So from that kick, he'd been on the PUP list all of training camp, all of the season. So clearly something bad happened on that kick.
Yeah,
he missed it in OTAs. He is active. He is going to be the kicker today for the Titans. Are you nervous about a guy who's never kicked in the NFL before kicking for the Titans today?
I'm a little nervous. I mean, I know it's hard for me to pronounce the name, but it's funny because they were doing an interview with him a couple of days ago, and he said that the people thought he was one of the trainers. I mean that scares you right there. But at the end of the day, he's in his position to where he's in the NFL for a reason. He's not to be – they just found this guy and say, okay, you're out of here. You come out here and kick. there's something that they see in this guy. They saw that, they saw something in camp. They saw something that says, okay, we trust in you to make these kicks. But if it comes down to the last play of the game, you got to make a 50-yarder, then that's when I'm concerned, Jared.
Caleb Shudak is 5'7", 177 pounds.
Dang, 77?
Yeah, and if he's listed at 5'7", how tall do you think he really is?
About 5'4". He might still need a booster seat, man.
What
were
you listed at in the NFL?
They had me at 6'3", man.
And how tall are you?
I'm about 6 feet, man, barely.
So they list him at 5'7". I'm telling you, and I mean this with all due respect, when he runs out on the field to kick, you are going to be like, who is this tiny little baby that is running out there on the
small?
Field? Oh, he's tiny.
Wow.
But he's tiny.
Hey, all you got to do is kick it through the upright. That,
you know what they say? You said that he said that they thought he was
a trainer.
They
thought he was a trainer, and it was hilarious.
That's because he's like John Takahashi out there. Like, that's what they thought.
He's not that small, man.
I mean,
Takahashi's like 5'2", man.
And I love Takahashi all my
heart.
He's
the best guy in America.
Corey Curtis just texted me. He said, I can't wait to watch Shudak kick. Hey, that was his guy in OTAs before he got hurt.
Corey.
And hadn't been able to kick until last week. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans' offense as they get set to take on the Bengals today. Again, the offense, 3 interceptions last year in the playoff game. Coming off their best game of the season against Green Bay. We'll do that next. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Chris Sanders has now seen Caleb Shudak and how big the new kicker for the Titans and how big and strong he is.
He probably bench presses 315, man.
315?
You shouldn't have shown me that video, man.
So he's listed at 5'7", 177.
He's 5'5".
And weighs how much?
130. And I'm being respectful when I say this, because in that picture, he looked like he was about 105, at least 105. See?
I told you, he looked like a tiny little baby. He's going to look like a tiny little baby
like
out there kicking.
He looked like he's in a four.
And what I showed Chris was all I could find on YouTube, which was him kicking in high school, which when he's out there with these NFL players on the field and everybody who's on the field during a field goal is fat. And so he's going to be there with all those big linemen and like –
like he's in the third grade, man. Okay.
Offensively, against the Bengals.
Okay.
The Bengals have a good pass rush.
They do.
With Trey Hendrickson and with Sam Hubbard on their defensive line last year. We all know they forced Ryan Tannehill into 3 interceptions. We know they're going to try to do that again.
Yeah.
Tannehill has not played well in the 2 games that he's gone up against Zach Taylor as head coach of the Bengals, and that includes in 2020 when the Titans offense was elite and the Bengals were no good. And it should be noted that Zach Taylor has coached Ryan Tannehill since he was in college. Not only was he the tight end coach at A&M when Tannehill was the quarterback, he was the quarterback coach in Miami when Ryan Tannehill got there as a rookie throughout most of the first half of his tenure with the Dolphins. So clearly Zach Taylor knows Ryan Tannehill really well, and Tannehill has not played well against the Bengals. What do we make of what the offense is going to have to do today?
You know, I don't think they should put it all on Tannehill. I know Tannehill played well last week. I just think they need to stick what got him there. That's the bread and butter, and that's with running the ball early. Because if you run the ball early and stay in front of the chains and it's 2nd and 5, now your play calling with Todd Downing can really, you know, come to fruition. I mean, that's the key. I don't want this offense to get into 3rd and 15, 3rd and 20, then now you're limited to your play calling. So they got to stay in front of the chains, get the ball early to Henry, and let him make those explosive plays, and then throw the ball off play action. So if they can do that and don't have turnovers and have a balanced offense and throw on first down, they can definitely be successful. I know last year was a difficult situation where they threw 3 interceptions. I mean, unbelievable. But I think that Tannehill can't go in there with this mentality and say, okay, we're gonna be tight and just give Henry the ball. Yeah, give Henry the ball, but also throw the ball on first down. So they got to mix it up and keep that defensive coordinator off balance.
What did you make of Treylon Burks' performance last week and what that means going forward? 7 for 111.
Yeah.
We've seen guys with the Titans have good games. Yes. We haven't seen a lot of guys outside of Derek Mason and A.J. Brown that have really established themselves as great players, you know, over the course of time. And so I look back to Treylon Burks, and I felt like Treylon Burks' ability really set the table for everybody else on offense. How confident are you that he can repeat that? Because I watched the 3 Thanksgiving Day games, and I see Buffalo, and they've got a number one receiver.
Yeah.
I see Dallas. They've got a number one receiver. I see Minnesota. They've got a number one receiver. Detroit has a number one receiver too, but the other two teams didn't. And so I think the number one receiver is a very important position. We know why Treylon Burks was brought in here. Last week, he played the role of number one receiver. Mm-hmm. How confident are you that he can repeat that?
You know, when you're talking about a number one wide receiver, and I'm going to break this down because I want the listeners to really understand this. When you're talking about a number one receiver, it's not that you're just playing good in one game. That's great. Look at Diggs from Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He's always consistently making plays. He's consistently making a big play. He's consistently reliable for your quarterback. That's the same thing Burks have to do. I understand he had a great game last week, 7 for 111, but I want to see it being done consistently week in and week out. I understand he had a great game against the Packers. Now, we always talk about this. Big players make big plays in big games. This is a big game, and we're going to see if he's one of those big-time players.
What did you see out of him? You know, that really, because now he's healthy and he right. played in the game the week before, but now he's really healthy and he's back into it. What did you see from Burks that you think enabled him to have the performance that he did on Thursday night?
I think that he's got a second gear now. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have it before, but I think what limited him before is he was consistently hurt. He had a turf toe. He had, you know, arm and all that stuff. So it kind of put him behind the eight ball. But if you look in this Packers game, when he ran that first nine route against the defensive back, I mean, he ran by him really, really quickly. So that just shows you that he's getting his speed back. He's getting his conditioning back, and he can make that big-time play. And the one thing I love about Treylon Burks is he's got a big body. He's got a ginormous body to where he can go up and make those tough catches. So if Tannehill gets in trouble and they blitz and it's man-to-man on outside, you expect that guy to make the big play because he can become that big-time wide receiver.
What'd you think of the other receivers against the Bengals and how, or against the Packers and how they kind of all fit in?
Yeah.
Because I thought Robert Woods had a great game.
He had a great game. I mean, you said something that was so profound off the air is he played his role. I mean, we know he's not going to take the top off the defense. We know he's not going to run a post. We know he's not going to run a go route. But he's going to run those crossing routes, you know, with play action. So when you have a guy like that that's always in the right spot consistently, it just makes you comfortable at a quarterback that when I throw the ball that I know you can be there. And I know that when he first came here from the L.A. Rams, we was expecting a deep threat guy. He's not a deep threat guy. He's one of those guys to catch a hitch, a slant, or a choice route and make something happen after play, and he's just playing his role. And I thought he had a consistent game last week.
Derrick Henry had five straight games of over 100 yards, including a game in which he had 219 yards against the Texans. The last 2 weeks, Derrick Henry, 87 against Green Bay. Now, I thought that was a hard-earned 87. 53 on 19 carries against the Broncos. Are we worried about Derrick Henry? Because, again, you know, with a lot of running backs, two straight games of not 100 yards after five games of 100 yards is nothing to be worried about. This is not a lot of running backs. This is the running back. Is that? Do you have any concerns there with the running game, or why has he not gotten going like he was last week?
No, I think the scenario is a little different. It's because they're becoming a balanced offense more. I mean, if you look at the first couple of games when Derrick Henry was doing well, when he had on those five games where he had 100 yards, it's because he was the whole offense. But now you got receivers catching the ball. Now you got tight ends catching the ball. You got different guys that's involved in the offense. That makes a difference. You don't have to put the whole onus on Derrick Henry, because if you go out, he keeps having 100. He's carrying the ball 35 times for 150 yards. He was the whole offense. But now you got Chiggs coming along. Now you got Burks coming along. Now you got Woods coming along. You got different guys that are being involved in the offense. That's why he's not getting those numbers.
What do you make of the Titans? They're ranked 29th in the league in total offense. That's awful. Now, it was 32nd, and then Tannehill came back, and now it's 29. So it's a couple of steps up.
Yeah.
And yet, I thought that they played – like, I thought they showed a lot of promise against Green Bay.
They look good.
I thought that when I look at the Titans' offense, I see a running game. I like the backup running back. They got a number one receiver in Burks, although, you know, Burks still has a lot of boxes to check before we can he's 100%. A number one receiver. But then with him at the number one spot, Woods played a perfect number two. Westbrook Akine was solid at number three. They got two tight ends they like to throw the ball to. Hooper's more of a first down guy. Chigakonkwo's more of a big play guy. And they've got a great low red zone target in Dontrell Hilliard. I like a lot of that.
I do too.
And yet they're 29th in the league in total offense?
Yeah, but see, though that's kind of a little bit deceiving. And if you look at earlier in the year, the passing game was inept. I mean, and the running game was doing well. But look at what they did last week. And I want to really, really point this out. They had 21 first downs. They had 408 total yards. And Byard said a quote like this. He said, "We played efficient football the entire game." Mm-hmm. That's see, right there, when you say that, that doesn't sound like football talk. but it actually is. They played efficient football the entire game. Even though they're ranked 29th, that doesn't mean that they're not a good offense. We saw it last week when they went against the Green Bay Packers. They passed the ball. They ran the ball. They ran screens. They ran the inside zone, outside zone. They did everything, and they were having those long drives and creating points. So even though they're 29th in the league, I think that they're still a pretty good offense.
And they had a lot of guys hurt.
They had a lot of guys hurt, yes.
And I think that's probably a part of it, too. I still wonder, here's one thing that I don't think it's talked about enough. Every year, and I said this early in the season, when people were complaining about the offensive line, and they were mad at the offensive line coach, true, Keith Carter, and I said, look, every year we've complained about Keith Carter. Every year in September and October, we've complained about Keith Carter and the offensive line. Yeah. And every year by November and December, either Derrick Henry's running for 2,000 yards or winning a rushing title, or Derrick Henry gets hurt and the guys that they sign off the street yeah, are running just like Derrick Henry. So every year the line gets it figured out. It felt like against Green Bay, I was scared to death of the Titans' backup offensive line with no Ben Jones in there and with Dylan Raiden starting at left guard. And I thought the offensive line played great.
They did.
And I wonder if that is also kind of why. Now, Daly is a little bit of an issue in pass protection on passing downs. But I wonder if the offensive line is not getting the credit. When I listen to a lot of other cities talk about their teams, and I hear a lot of other cities complain about offensive lines, and I say, you know, here we complained about the offensive line early, but we're not really complaining about the offensive line now.
You know, I think sometimes we focus on the big names. I mean, if you look at this offensive line, who's the big name before he got hurt? That was Taylor Lewan. Everybody knew Taylor Lewan. And I think sometimes, and I do it too, it's like, okay, who's Daly? Who's these guys? I don't know the Brewer. All this stuff. We don't know these guys. So we're like, oh, their offensive line is terrible. But here's the thing about this offense. You have guys on offensive line that are fighters. They may not be the most athletic. They might not be the most, you know, technique-wise, but they're going to fight you from tooth and nails. And I talked this – I asked TD the same question. Would you take a guy that's a fighter, or you take a guy that has a lot of talent but only gives you 50%, but a guy that has less talent that's going to give you 100%? He said, I'll take the guy that has 100%. Why? Because they're going to fight you tooth and nail. They're not going to take any plays off. And if you watch this offensive line, they are driving people way down the field. It just shows you that they care. They want. They care about winning. They care about their quarterback. They care about pass pro. They are fighters, and I'll take those guys any time of the day.
What'd you make of the one drive the Titans had against Green Bay where they held the ball for 18 plays?
That is crazy.
I want to say it was like 12 minutes o'clock, 10:06.
Yes.
They ended up turning the ball over on downs, then got forced a three and out from Green Bay, which set up good field position and a touchdown. Yeah. I thought that drive was exactly how the Titans want to play football.
Oh, absolutely.
Which physical, run the ball,
yes,
complete short passes to Hooper and Woods and keep the chains moving. That's a drive that would scare me if I'm another team because, again, a 10-minute drive, pretty much the entire second quarter the Titans ate up against Green Bay.
Oh, man, it just takes a lot of oomph out of the defense because when you have an 18-play drive, 10 minutes, I mean, the defense is demoralized because what the offense did is they impose their will on them and say, you know what, I don't care what you do. I don't care where you blitz. I don't care where you send a dog. I don't care what you do. I'm imposing my will. And we saw it with the pass. We saw it with the run. We saw it with the screens. They did anything they wanted to get the ball to fit. I know they didn't score any points. They had a turnover on downs. But that is demoralizing to have an 18-play drive and take 10 minutes out That's a pretty good dog on offense.
Todd Downing will remain the play caller today after his DUI on the wee hours in the wee hours of the morning on Friday after returning. Do you think that will play any bit of a role of a distraction for the Titans offense?
I don't think it's going to be a distraction at all because this is where your team's supposed to come together. And I'm not nullifying what he did was okay, but this is where you got to support your coach. I'm not saying support what he did. I'm saying support him through the adversity. Say, listen, we understand what you did. We're going to get you help. We need to figure out a way to help you through the situation. But when you come on this ball field, I expect you to be the play caller. I expect you to be my offensive coordinator. I expect you to do what you did in the Green Bay game. So I don't think they're going to let it be a distraction because I think the players are going to back him and say, you know what, we got your back regardless of what happened.
The Bengals have a big injury on the offensive side of the ball, but the Titans also have a big injury on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to that. We'll flip the script. We'll go inside the defensive playbook. What do we think about Joe Burrow and the Bengals? We'll do that next. Sure. It's the pregame show live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge in Germantown, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. On the defensive side of the ball, the Cincinnati Bengals return to the scene of the crime where Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times last year in the playoffs. yes. and still won the game. I used to joke with people that if Floyd were to come back all of a sudden out of nowhere, the first thing I would say to him is, you know they got 9 sacks in a playoff game and lost? Because I don't think he could believe it.
That's crazy.
Just like I couldn't believe it if he came back, I don't think that he could believe that they got 9 sacks in a playoff game and lost. The Cincinnati offense coming into today, and again, they've had some injuries, which we'll get to, but the Cincinnati offense is 6th in the NFL and 3rd in points scored, which means they're a good red zone team under Zach Taylor, an offensive coach, Joe Burrow. I have all the respect in the world for it, quarterback. The Titans on defense. Now, this is where the numbers can be a little deceiving, and a lot of this is because the Titans don't hold the ball very often in terms of possession. The Titans on defense, 17th in the league in defense, but 8th in points allowed.
Okay.
So they're a top 10 in points allowed, but they're 17th in total defense. I think the Titans have an elite defense in the NFL. Cincinnati will be without Ja'Marr Chase, who is not expected to be active today for Cincinnati, though he is out on the field right now just running around a little bit. They think that he probably needs another week, and so he most likely will be out. Chris Sanders, what do we think about this matchup? The Titans defense, which will get the return of Bud Dupree, and will get the return of Amani Hooker today. But they'll be without DeNico Autry.
Oh, man, I love this matchup. I know everybody's talking about, you know, Burrow. I mean, he's throwing for 69%, 2,800 yards, 22 TDs. Everybody know how special he is. But I think the game is going to be won at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talked about, you know, the front with Simmons, Walker, and T.R. Tart going against their offensive line with Kappa and Collins. I just think that we're so physical, and I think we're going to rattle Burrow. I mean, I understand he puts up some good stats.
He didn't get rattled last year, and he got sacked 9 times.
I know he got sacked 9 times, at a point in time, he was a little bit rattled. Because, you know, when you're a great quarterback, I understand that, you know, he's good at what he does. But I don't care how great you are. When you start to get pressure in that A and B gap and you can't step up and make throws, that makes you second-guess yourself as a quarterback. I mean, look at Tom Brady. When they played Tom Brady, maybe I can't remember, about 5 or 6 years ago when Tom Brady was hot at that time, but he had a terrible game against the Tennessee Titans because he was uncomfortable in the pocket. That's the same thing what this front has to do. They got to make sure that Burrows is uncomfortable in the pocket all day long. I'm not talking about the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, but all the way to the fourth quarter to where he's uncomfortable and can't make plays with his receivers.
What do we think about the matchup in the secondary with the receivers? I felt like when I went back and watched the Green Bay tape, I felt like there were a lot of opportunities where Aaron Rodgers was frustrated by his receivers not getting open that led to either coverage throwaways or a coverage sack by Jeffrey Simmons on Thursday night against the Packers. Ja'Marr Chase is the kind of receiver that no matter how good of a corner you are, you can't cover him for 8 seconds.
Right, absolutely.
I'm not sure Cincinnati, and Tyler Boyd's a good receiver, and T. Higgins is a good receiver, and Joe Burrow's a great quarterback. I'm not sure Cincinnati has those guys with what is expected to be an almost fully healthy Titan secondary, which means that we'll probably see the Titans put the 3 safeties out on the field, Byard, Adams, and Hooker today, which I think will cause some problems for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I just don't want them to go man-to-man coverage. I mean, you know, I know that Ja'Marr Chase is not out there. He's an explosive wide receiver. He's a guy who changes the game. But if you look at last year when the Cincinnati Bengals played in the Super Bowl, who made the big plays downfield? It was Higgins. Higgins beat, what was that defensive back's name? The one we don't like from the L.A. Rams.
Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey. He beat Jalen Ramsey on a deep pass. So I just don't want Shane Bourne to say, okay, you know, we're going to bring a whole bunch of pressure. We're going to go man-to-man outside and just throw the ball up and let Higgins make a play. I don't want that to happen. I just think that you keep everything in front of you, let him catch the short pass and make the tackles, and don't give up the explosive plays. And make it simple as that. That's all you got to do.
What do you expect from Burrow in terms of him trying to nullify the pressure? Because he knows it's coming.
Yeah, yes.
He's seen the tape of the Titans. The Titans have a great defensive line. He knows it's coming. Yep. He got sacked 9 times in the playoffs last year. The Titans actually sacked him 11 times. 2 of them were taken away by late whistles that were on the offense. One was a false start. Another was a delay of game. Right. So he got sacked 11 times. He got hit 11 times last year in that playoff game. He knows it's coming. What do you expect Burrow to do to try to nullify that?
What he's going to do is he's going to hold the count, the snap count a little longer, say hut, 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 to see where the blitz is coming. And once he does that and he knows where the blitz is coming, he's going to get the ball that quick. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, when he was at Ohio State, then he went to LSU, that was his one thing that he did well, is he got the ball that quick. So, you know, even though the Tennessee Titans are going to be in pressure or dog blitzes, whatever, he's going to find out where it's coming with the snap count and then to get the ball out quick to his receivers and also run the screen.
What do we make of the Titans' defense as a whole without DeNico Autry?
Man,
I am a huge DeNico Autry fan.
Yes, he is.
They've won without Jeffrey Simmons this year. They've won without Bud Dupree, and they get Bud Dupree back today. They've won without Harold Landry all season. They've still been a great defense. Every time somebody on that defensive line goes down, everybody steps up, from Mario Edwards to DeMarcus Walker to Kevin Strong. And yet, DeNico Autry for the last 2 years has been a constant on this team. He's been great in the run. He's great as a pass rusher. How much of a loss is DeNico Autry, or is this something that the Titans defense will be able to overcome because of their depth?
I think there's two things. I mean, I know they can overcome it, but it's a big loss when you lose Autry. I mean, Autry's one of those guys that he's consistently around the ball. And, you know, when there's a play that always needs to be made, we look up and Autry's making a sack. I mean, that's what makes him so special. And then the thing about it is the one thing I'm kind of concerned about is they may start to double Simmons a little bit more because they don't have that inside pressure just coming from Autry. So that's the only thing that I'm concerned about. But if you look at over this overall defense, Walker's playing ball, man. That dude is playing ball. He may not have the household name, but that dude is consistently around the ball. T.A. Tart is playing pretty well. So even though you don't have your big guy in there that's been a disruptor, you have two other guys that's been disruptive, just like Autry is.
And Mario Edwards Jr.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Been absolutely fantastic for what the Titans have asked of him. The depth on the defensive line.
Oh,
this is how I feel about it. Bud Dupree apparently has injured both hips, and so he spent time recovering the one hip injury.
Yeah.
Then he injured the other hip, so he spent time recovering that. Bud Dupree's going to be in. And I'll say this about the defensive line. We know the Titans are going to make the playoffs because the rest of the division is given
up. Yeah.
If you just tell me that Bud Dupree and DeNico Autry will be healthy for the playoffs, I'll feel pretty good about it. I'll take my loss against the Dallas Cowboys that's what happens here, just to make sure that those two guys are healthy for the playoffs, because I do think the Titans' defensive line is now getting to a point where they could carry this team.
Oh,
you remember the Buccaneers back in your day with Warren Sapp Simeon Rice, and they had, you know, Derek Brooks was a great player too, and but that team won a Super Bowl carried by its defensive line. The New York Giants with Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck and OCU Mignola and those guys carried by the defensive line. Tampa Bay a couple years ago. Now, Tom Brady, you know, they won the Super Bowl because they had Tom Brady. But they had a great defensive line. Shaq Barrett was healthy and playing for a new contract. They had Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh and JPP. And it really dominated Green Bay and Kansas City en route to the Super Bowl. I look at this Titans defensive line. When healthy, even without Landry, I feel like they're that level. I think without Autry, they probably aren't that good. And that's where I, you know, when he went down holding his knee and I was in the crowd of Green Bay, I was holding my breath like, oh, my God, not DeNico Autry.
But you know, even though, you know, Autry went down, you know, Mike Vrabel's not going to make an excuse.
They say
the next man up has got to make some plays. But it's just a funny thing about this defense that Dupree will be out and Autry will be out and Simmons will be out.
Hooker
will be out. But all of a sudden, somebody steps in and makes the same play. So I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if they pay attention to details. The Shane Bowen is demanded that these guys get it done. But the overall view of what's going on here is that even though sometimes those guys aren't in the lineup, but they're still getting the same results. And that just shows you the mark of a great defense ball, but also the depth of the defense. So, you know, I know Autry's a big miss. I know he's going to be missed a lot. But I still think with the depth of this team, they're going to still be successful and put Burrow on his back about 7 or 8 times.
What do we make of the fact that the Titans keep going out and adding guys, whether it's Andrew Adams or Terrence Mitchell or Mario Edwards? They keep adding guys, Dylan Cole, that come in there and play as well as everybody else has played. And we'll know about whether or not Christian Fulton, who's questionable for the game, whether or not he's active in about the next 5 minutes or so. But what do we make of the fact that the Titans keep bringing guys off the scrap heap that come in here and play really well and fit exactly what they're looking to do?
You know, I want to take my hat off to J-Rob and Mike Vrabel, the culture that they built. I mean, we always talk about culture, and it sounds a cute word, but culture is the expectation of everybody on the same page. That's all it is. It doesn't matter if you have a different receiver, you have a different cornerback, you have a different defensive end, that if you're inserted in the lineup, with this culture that we have, we expect you to make plays. We expect you to be a smart player. We expect you to be versatile because that's the culture and the nature of what we do here. So even though Archer may not be in, Simmons might not be in, Dupre may not be in, but the guys who step in that position adapt to the culture and make the same plays that those guys that were supposed to be in.
Do you believe the Titans defense is an elite defense, yep, even though they rank 18th in the NFL?
I do, and the reason why I say that is because different guys step up at different moments. Let's talk about when they played against the Commanders. The Commanders were getting ready to score. Who steps up and make a play? David Long Jr. Mm-hmm. So even though the statistics doesn't say they're an elite defense, but the result of getting wins shows that they're an elite defense.
How important is it today against an elite offense that the Titans defense show it? Because no matter how much we want to ignore it, and the NFL is you got to beat who you play.
Yeah.
The Titans have not beaten any good playoff teams yet this season. Yeah. I know they beat Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, and coming into the year, we thought Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay was going to be a wagon, but Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay stink.
Yeah.
What do we make of, you know, this is an elite offense. This is a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. This is a team that is competing for the playoffs now.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about the NFL being a scoring offense. Everybody's scoring a whole bunch of points. Just like I said earlier, look at what the Titans did in a seven-game span. They held teams to 20 points and under 20 points less. So it just shows you, even though the statistics say that you're not an elite defense, I still believe they're elite defense because they're figuring out a way to win and they're holding teams to 20 points or less.
Who's in, who's out for the Titans? We'll get to that next. Will Christian Fulton be available today? We will discuss. Chris Sanders live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. It's the pregame show on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Who's in, who's out for the Titans today as they get set to take on the Bengals? We are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. Christian Fulton was questionable for the game today for the Titans. Chris Sanders, is in.
Let's go.
Today
Let's go.
For the Titans. Inactive for the Titans. Lineman Denico Autry, we already knew about that. Defensive lineman Naquan Jones. Defensive lineman Larrell Murchison. Linebacker Joe Schobert. Kicker Randy Bullock out with the injury. Caleb Shudak will make his NFL debut today. The big boy. Cornerback Terrence Mitchell is out today for the Titans, which I'm surprised by because Terrence Mitchell, they have used him. Center Ben Jones is inactive, failing to clear concussion protocol. He did practice on Friday. He suffered the concussion at the end of the Broncos game. He did not play last week against the Packers. He will not play today, so we can make the assumption Aaron Brewer will stay at center and Dylan Radins will stay at left guard today for the Titans. Let's start with the news that Ben Jones is out today. How do we feel about the offensive line, knowing that Cincinnati has two good pass rushers in Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson?
Man, I feel good. And the reason why I feel good is because even though, you know, Brewer's playing center and Ben Jones is out, you're still getting the same production. I mean, I know that you like Ben Jones. Ben Jones is the guy who sets the front and all those things. But the way they played against Green Bay, and Green Bay had an okay front, they kept Tannehill clean most of the time. And also they had those running lanes for Derrick Henry. So I'm not overly concerned because I know these guys are going to fight. I think Brewer is going to do a great job at center.
What do we make of Christian Fulton being active today for the Titans? Terrence Mitchell is inactive. The expectation would be that Mitchell goes out because Hooker goes in.
Yep.
We'll probably see the three safeties from the Titans with Andrew Adams, Kevin Byard, and Amani Hooker. And that means that starting outside will be Roger McCreary will go outside of Christian Fulton. What do we make of that?
Oh, man, I think it's beautiful that Fulton is in there because one thing I love about him, he's been playing well. I mean, before he got hurt and in and out of the lineup, I think he's been one of the most consistent cornerbacks, you know, on the Tennessee Titans roster. So with him being out there, and I'm not saying Shane Bourne's going to do this, but I think you put Fulton on Higgins to not give up those explosive plays. So now you put him on Higgins, then now it allows you to let you do the things you want to do on defense, rush the quarterback, and also stay back and not give up the explosive plays.
So here's what I think the Titans are going to do. Is I think the Titans are going to go with, you know, everybody's going to play their side.
Mm-hmm.
So Fulton will be on his side, McCreary will be on his side, and Hooker will be in the slot. It is eye-opening to me that the Titans are going to go with the extra safety as opposed to Mitchell, who's an outside corner, which makes me believe the Titans plan to be very physical today with the Bengal receivers, knowing that there's not a burner like Jamar Chase in there.
But see, here's the thing I'm kind of concerned of, to where you talk about that Shane Bourne might be playing sides. Okay, if the receiver comes to the right, McCreary's there, receiver goes to the left, then Fulton's there. But see, here's the thing. You got Higgins, who's a big, big wide receiver. You got McCreary, and disrespectful. He doesn't have the long arms to jam at the line of scrimmage or try to get the jump ball. So if I'm Burrow and I see the matchup that Higgins is on McCurry, I'm not going through my read. I'm just throwing the ball up and let my receiver make the play. So they got to make sure that if they do that, they got to make sure there's a big corner to really stop Higgins from making those explosive plays.
Inactive today for the Bengals. Wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is inactive. We knew that coming in, that there was a pretty good chance he would not play today. It is official. Ja'Marr Chase is inactive. Punter Kevin Huber is inactive today. Running back Joe Mixon. Defensive tackle Josh Tupou. Offensive lineman Deontay Smith. Guard Jackson Smith. And defensive end Jeff Gunter out. The big names there, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon out today for the Bengals.
I think that's huge. I know everybody's talking about Ja'Marr Chase being out, which is really, really huge. But I think Mixon is even bigger. I'm not saying bigger than Ja'Marr Chase, but it's even big because if you look at last year, Mixon had a great running day against the Tennessee Titans. So you take him out. So now you can just play in the back end and don't give the explosive play and just put pressure, you know, to try to stop the run. So I think it's big by Ben Mixon being out because he was one of those guys that can make those explosive plays in the running game.
So for the Bengals at running back going in this direction, it will not be Mixon, who I think Mixon's a good back.
He's not bad at all.
I mean, I think he's a 1,000-yard running back. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. I don't think he's a great running back. Like, I wouldn't put him in the Kamara – Taylor, Derrick Henry group, but I would say he's in that one step below, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber running back. Their backup running back, as far as they're concerned, is Samaje Perine. This season on the year, 36 attempts for Perine for 163 rushing yards. Their leading rusher with Joe Mixon, 605 rushing yards out, is actually Joe Burrow with 146. What do we think about Perine in there for Mixon?
I mean, he's going to have to make some plays. I looked at him play last week. He's not too bad, but I think the one way they may use him a lot in the screens because you know that the Titans are going to put a lot of pressure on a quarterback and send blitzes and all that. So I think he might be using in the screen game. So, you know, even though he doesn't scare you in the running game, they're still going to try to figure out a way to use him. So I don't know what the offensive coordinator is going to do. They may spread the Titans out and go empty and dare you to beat them in the pass or try to run the ball and set up the pass. I just don't know because you have your big dog out, Ja'Marr Chase and Mixon.
The screen game does not bother me. And I'm going to tell you why the screen game doesn't bother me. I think the Titans have done a great job this season at not sniffing out screens, but more so the effort with which they play and the discipline with which they play. Guys don't get out of position when a team runs a screen play. So whoever was supposed to be there at the beginning is already there to go make the tackle.
Yeah, but if you look at last year, when the Titans were dominating the whole game, what got the Cincinnati Bengals back in the game? They sent a quick screen to Ja'Marr Chase, and he had, like, I think it was like a 50-yard run. They stopped him. So I don't want them to get caught in that situation. They got to make sure that they read the formation and make sure they don't give the explosive plays by the back with the screen or the receiver screen on the outside of the perimeter.
Chris Sanders, what do we make again of the fact that this season the Tennessee Titans have not yet beaten a team that if the playoffs were to start today would qualify for the playoffs? When I think about what gives me optimism, and I am optimistic about this team. I mean, I think the Titans could compete with everybody else in the NFL. When I think about what gives me optimism, I think about the fact that the Titans went to overtime against Kansas City.
In Kansas City.
In Kansas City in a game they should have won, but they didn't win. You know, it's like the best thing that makes me feel good about the Titans' ability to compete is the fact that, you know, when I'm sitting here saying, okay, how do I know the Titans can compete in the AFC playoffs? Whereas I can look at Dallas, and I can see that Dallas just smoked Minnesota that's going to win their division last Sunday, and they really handled the Giants. That's a playoff-caliber team. They handled the Giants on Thursday. When I look at the Titans, the best thing I can say is, hey, they went on the road to Kansas City. They went to overtime with a backup quarterback and almost won. And that makes me nervous. At some point, I feel like the Titans are going to have to break through. They've got really, in my opinion, three playoff teams left on the schedule. They've got Cincinnati today, who I don't think is going to make the playoffs because Cincinnati's schedule down the stretch is absolutely brutal. Then they have Philadelphia and Dallas. Those two, I think, are legitimate playoff teams. So I go there and I say, how important is it for us to see the Titans beat beat a playoff caliber team today.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. We talked about this off air that in the AFC, there's no dominant team.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just going to go down the list. The Chiefs, okay. The Bills, okay. The Bengals, okay. The Ravens, okay. I mean, those are the top.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. Yeah, but they're good, but they're inconsistent. Once you rattle the quarterback, it just changes the whole game. So what gives me optimism about the Tennessee Titans is because there's no dominant team in AFC. If you look at the last couple of years, it was always Kansas City Chiefs. It was always the Chiefs, always the Chiefs, always the Chiefs. But if you look at all the teams in the AFC, there's no dominant team that really sticks out. So the Titans are right there. If they can keep playing consistent football on defense and not making mistakes on offense, I'm really optimistic that this team can make a run for the Super Bowl.
The Titans, though, have played two AFC bona fide playoff teams, and they've lost to both of them, Kansas City and Buffalo. Now, again, we know that the Kansas City game, Malik Willis played quarterback.
Right, right.
I believe that if Tannehill had played quarterback in the Kansas City game, I believe that the Titans would have won that game. The Buffalo game, that was early in the season.
Right.
Buffalo was clicking on all cylinders. I don't think Buffalo's the same team that they were then.
True.
I don't think the Titans are the same team that they were then. This is a legitimate AFC team.
I agree.
You know, like this team, this Bengals team today, at some point, don't we need to see the Titans beat a team like this before the playoffs?
Yeah, we always talk about that you got to play good football in November, okay? Let me ask you a question. Have the Chiefs been playing good in November?
Yes.
Bills in November? No. The Ravens? No. The Dolphins? Yes.
I don't know if the Ravens are going to lose another game.
They just don't impress me, though.
Look at their schedule.
Yeah, but the thing about it is they play down to the level. You look at the games that they play, they always have to come back and try to win the game. So,
yeah, I mean, like Carolina last week.
Yeah, but Carolina steps up.
Carolina's terrible.
That's the point that I'm making. I just don't think that in the AFC South, there's no dominant team. And we always talk about you got to be playing good football in November. And the only team that's really been playing good in November is the Kansas City Chiefs. And we almost beat them on the road. So that's what gives me the optimism about this Tennessee Titans team is because they may not be beating the elite teams, but they're playing good football in November.
But they need.
I agree.
They
I
need
agree.
To be the playoff team.
Absolutely.
And today is the opportunity against the Bengals. TD is at the stadium. How did Christian Fulton look as he was able to give it a go? What do we make of Ben Jones and his absence? We'll get into that with Teron Davenport from ESPN, who is live at Nissan Stadium. We'll do that coming up next, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, it is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Titans and Bengals, again, in for the Titans today. Christian Fulton will give it
Let's
a go. Out today, Ben Jones. Out today for the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon, who did not clear concussion protocol. TD, Teron Davenport is at Nissan Stadium. He joins us now. TD, let's start with the first one, Christian Fulton. I was a little skeptical if Fulton would give it a go if Chase was inactive. The Titans do leave Fulton active. Did we see Fulton working out today on the field? How does the hamstring look after he exited the Green Bay game last Thursday night?
Yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned Fulton because I'm watching him right now. He has a resistance band on his legs, and he's stretching out and moving. He's been out here a little bit longer than he normally stays, but he looks good, you know, so he should be good to go. He told me on Friday that he was feeling fine, so I don't think there's going to be any issue, and it's going to be good to see him back out there after a little bit.
TD, all week the talk about losing to Nico Autry was there. And yet at the same time, Bud Dupree returns. Bud Dupree pretty open about his hip injuries. What do we make of that and the recovery and how Bud Dupree will return to the lineup today?
Yeah, that's not an issue from what Bud has told me all this week. He said that the hip flexor, he had it on both hips. And he said that he's good to go now. And, I mean, I watched him out there. During practice, you know, he's bouncing, he's doing his different moves and stuff that he does, and everything seemed to be okay from what we saw in the individual spirit, and we know how important it is to have him out there, so that's something, you know, to keep an eye on, just how he is in game situation and how that will go through the rest of the today, but yeah, I mean, all signs are that he's good to go.
You know, man, hey, what's up, TD? Just looking at last year, the Titans really got after Burrow. They sacked him 9 times. What do you think they need to do with getting after him and getting him off his spot. What do you think the defense needs to do?
Yeah, it's really just the same of what they did before. You know, that layered pass rush. Even though he's not like a, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen as far as running with the football, he still is a threat. Like, he can run and he can move. So really what it comes down to is what they have to do is just make sure that they have discipline with their rush lanes. But it's all about just collapsing the pocket around them. They got to get that push from the interior especially. That's really going to be a factor. So it's all about getting to them and making it happen.
You know, just looking at Burrow, he is losing one of his number one targets, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he's a big, explosive wide receiver. But there's another guy on the other side named Higgins. What do you think the secondary needs to do to not give up those explosive plays by Higgins?
Yeah, you know, it's really about getting a body on him. You can't let him get that free release. It's just the same as how they did against Christian Watson, to be honest with you. They have to make sure that they fight all the way through the tuck also because he's a bigger receiver. He's able to, you know, go up and get the ball. He has hops, so you want to make sure, you know, even on those back shoulder throws, that's something that they're not able to, you know, complete. So it's all about fighting through the tuck.
TD, one thing I was really impressed by on Thursday night against the Packers was how the offensive line operated without Ben Jones and with the moving pieces. That's going to be the same case today. I do have a lot of respect for Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard on the Bengals defensive line. What do you make of that matchup, the Titans with basically a backup offensive line against some really, in my opinion, underrated pass rushers for the Bengals?
Yeah, they are underrated pass rushers. Hendrickson is one of the best in the game, you know, and nobody mm-hmm. really recognizes it. So it's good that you mentioned him. You know, you got Joseph Asai, too, from out of Texas. You know, he's the guy that's a talented pass rusher also. And I think it's going to just, you know, be about quick passing. They have to make sure that they're getting the ball into Burks' hands quickly. You know, Robert Woods on those stop routes and those type of things. Chig Okonkwo as well. So that's really the best way to combat it. But I think the offensive line is going to hold up well. Dylan Raiders actually had a solid game last week. And, you know, Aaron Brewer held his own also. So I think they're going to be fun.
TD, what do we make of Caleb Shudak? What have we seen from him in warm-ups today? And Chris is wowed by his size. And Caleb Shudak kicking today for the Titans. What does he look like in warm-ups?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm looking at him right now standing next to Morgan Cox. And, like, he barely, even with his helmet and every full carry, he barely comes up to Cox's shoulder pad. So it's just like it's one of those where it's like a mini-me type of situation. But he missed a few. The wind is swirling here. But, yeah, I'm just going to tell you what it is. You know, I'm going to be objective and tell you the truth. So he did miss a few. But, you know, he also made some, too. He was good for 47 from just around 50. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, a huge problem, but we just have to see how this wind continues to, you know, build up. The flags are blowing, so there is some wind in here.
You know, last year, Tannehill, when they played him in the playoffs, he threw three picks, and in the offseason, he kind of addressed it when he came to camp about how it was a dark moment in his life to where he felt like he let his team down, he let this organization down. Do you think this game is a big step in Tannehill's career or make or break game for Tannehill?
It's definitely not make or break for him. And I think it is a big step, though, because it's just a part of his rebounding, you know, and being able to, you know, make things happen from, like, turn a negative into a positive. So I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue as far as, like, what can happen today. He's just going to come out here and play. And that's what he told me. He said, right, you know, it's not a revenge game. It has nothing to do with last year. And he's just going to play his game. And I talked to Pat O'Hara, the QB coach, and he said that, you know, one of the things he's loved about Tannehill is just how he's remained consistent. And it hasn't been any problem as far as, you know, breaking away from the things that he did to get to this point.
Yeah, just looking at this offensive line, you know, Ben Jones is not playing center this week. And, again, like he didn't last week, Brewer's stepping in again. You know, with this defensive front of the Cincinnati Bengals, are you kind of concerned that Ben Jones is not in at center?
I don't think so. I mean, you're definitely losing a lot with him not being there. But, you know, I really think this is a great opportunity for Aaron Brewer just to step up and show that he could be the center of the future. You know, so I don't really have a lot of concern. I think the one thing that you do have to look at, DJ Reader and BJ Hill, these guys are very, very, very good run blockers. In fact, I was talking to Ben Baby, the Bengals ESPN reporter, and he told me that DJ Reader told him that since he's dating back to college, Derrick Henry has never had a 100-yard rushing game against him. So I had to check the internet, man, because I didn't believe him, but he's right. You know, so they're big factors in the rush defense. So that's going to be something, you know, being able to move those guys out of the way and when they want to run that, you know, that inside zone and when they want to run between the tackles.
I do wonder if Derek knows that DJ Reader said that. But then again, DJ Reader's a Vrabel guy.
Yeah, he didn't even know. He didn't even know how many touchdown passes he had. He said two. I had to tell him he had three.
TD, great stuff as always. We look forward to your breakdowns.
Sam Cassell,
and better travels home this time than the last game.
Yeah, for sure. You know that, man. Have a good one.
Hey, appreciate you, Sam.
TD joining us on the program. As always at the stadium. That's now, you brought up the Tannehill thing about last year. Yeah. And TD asked Tannehill about his, you know, where his mind was, everything after that. And Tannehill so deflected the question. Yeah. I wish I had it. Like, I wish I could, you know, I had the question. Tannehill and Vrabel want no part of talking about last year's game. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if there's a reason why they want no part of talking about last year's game.
I just think it can become a distraction. I mean, because if you start focusing on what you did in the past, and then it starts to creep up in you, and those doubts, that doubt starts to come in. So I know it sounds cliche, we don't want to talk about it. It's not a revenge game. But in the back of their mind, they still, I mean, for Tannehill, I think in the back of his mind, he wants to overcome this adversity because, say he goes out and lose to them this year again and he throws three picks, then all that stuff comes up again. So he needs to figure out a way to win this game so he can put the rest of those demons.
Do you really think that this game matters that much for that regard? Because I am convinced that regardless of what happens today,
right.
Let's say Tannehill has the same game that he had last Thursday against Green Bay. Mm. I believe that when they open up the playoffs against the Chargers or the Bengals or the Jets or the Patriots or the Bills or whomever in that first game, that is when the discussion of what happened last year comes back, the three interceptions, that it will be the playoffs and not so much the Bengals as much as it is the playoffs that will bring that back to it.
Yeah.
And there's no way that they'll be able to shrug that off come playoff time.
Yeah, because then now all the talks goes back to where can he win the big game? I mean, you don't want to you want to put all that stuff to rest to say, you know what? I'm the quarterback of this team. I'm going to lead this team, and I can be an elite quarterback in this league. But if he goes out and loses this game, those three interceptions or four interceptions, whatever it is all that stuff's going to bubble up to the surface, and they're going to say, is he the quarterback of the future for this team?
Coming up next, our picks to click. Who has got to click today for the Titans and why? Plus, we got Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. We'll take a look at the final line. And, of course, we'll make our game day predictions. All that and more coming up live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Time now for Picks to Click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Last week, Chris Sanders picked Austin Hooper to click. Austin Hooper had four catches, Ladarius, and two touchdowns.
I just pick and win.
So a good pick to click.
Thank you, sir.
For Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
We start with you today against the Cincinnati Bengals. Ben Jones is out today on the offensive side of the ball. Who needs to click today for the Titans? And why on offense?
I am going to go with Ryan Tannehill. The reason I'm going with Ryan Tannehill is because I love these kind of scenarios. You had a situation that was bad last year. We had three interceptions. I think he's going to come and play lights out. He's going to make the right reach. He's going to make the right plays. And he's going to lead this team to victory. Why? Because he went through adversity last year, and he wants to overcome that adversity. And I think that's why he's going to have a huge game this game.
What makes you think Tannehill is that kind of guy?
I do. I look in his eyes. I watch his body language. I watch how when he answers questions, I know he kind of deflects a little bit. But this guy is focused. He's been through some situations when he went in Miami, so he knows how to face adversity. And I look at his body language. His body language, it tells me that even though I went through a tough situation, I'm still a stand-up guy, and I'm going to figure out a way to win.
Is that coach talk?
I mean, I just don't see it with Tannehill. I don't see I don't see the Michael Jordan inside of him.
No.
I played poorly last year, so I'm gonna shove it up there, Keister, this year.
No. I'm not saying that he's like a Michael Jordan type. I just think that there's a fighter inside this guy. This guy wants to win. I watched him in camp. He was like a totally different guy than when he was the cast before, because he's got, there's something in his eyes, there's something in his body language that says, you know what, in spite of what I went through, I'm going to figure out a way to lead my team to a championship.
My offensive pick to click today is going to be Treylon Burks. I think we need to see more of what we saw last week. And the one thing Treylon Burks does, and he did it on the third offensive snap of the game last week for the Titans, which set up their first touchdown, is he takes the top off the defense. Cincinnati has a banged-up secondary. Chidobe Awuzie is out this year for them. They're relying a lot on guys like Eli Apple that aren't very good. This is where I'd like to see Treylon Burks beat some guys deep, make the Bengals, who loaded the box last year against the Titans, make them drop out of it, allow Derrick Henry to run the ball better. But the thing about Treylon Burks is last week it was a good game. It wasn't a great game. And admittedly, the only reason it wasn't a great game is because 50 of his 111 came on that one play at the end of the game. So, you know, the game was already over. But again, two big bombs for Treylon Burks last week. We've seen good Titan receivers have good games. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine had a good game a couple weeks ago. But Treylon Burks, the expectation is he'll continue to have big games for this team. That's why they picked him where they picked him. He's got the speed, which the other guys don't have. I need this out of Treylon Burks.
100%. I don't want to just see him do it in the Green Bay game. I want him to be consistent from this day on, because just like what you set the picture up pretty, is they're going to load the box and dare you to beat him on the perimeter. And I don't think Apple's a good defensive back. I would be licking my chops if I were going up against him. So Burks can show the offensive coordinator. He can show the fans that he's the number one wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans offense.
What do you make of the Bengals depth chart on defense in the secondary? Because last year they had a solid secondary. Yep. This year they've got some injuries, and Jesse Bates is playing on the franchise tag. And right now in the secondary, they've got Eli Apple, Cameron Taylor-Britt, Mike Hilton, and the same guys they had last year that had three interceptions against Tannehill.
I like, the only guy that scares me is Von Bell. The reason why he scares me, he's got four interceptions, and he reads the quarterback's eyes, and he makes plays in the secondary. But there's other guys. I know they're in the NFL, but they're just guys. Eli Apple's from what school?
The Ohio State University.
He's from the Ohio State University.
Who lost by how many points yesterday?
See, man, I'm getting off the air, man. Nah, but he just doesn't impress me as a cornerback. So, you know, not just Treylon Burks, but your Woods and also Westbrook, those guys can have a big day against his secondary that's just not good in the back end.
Defense, who's got a click today for the Titans?
I was going to go with Kevin Byard.
You always pick Kevin Byard.
I know. That's why I raised it. I'm going with Monty Hooker.
And Byard has not really clicked. Yeah. I mean, he's had a good season, but he hasn't really clicked.
He has a lot of tackles. He has a lot of tackles. Does that count?
That's not get you named to the Pro Bowl as a safety.
But I'm going to Monty Hooker. I look at last year when they played the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals were they were kind of on a roll, and Amani Hooker makes a big-time interception to kind of really turn the tide to get the Titans back in the game. So I think Hooker's going to have a big game. He's going to make a big play, and I think he might even take a pick six to the house, baby. What you think? You're not too smart.
Let's respect Joe Burrow a little bit here. My pick to click is going to be Andrew Adams. I think Andrew Adams has been exactly what the Titans need. And I think with Amani Hooker in there, we're going to see Andrew Adams play a lot of that box safety, which is basically a faster linebacker.
Right.
I think his tackling has been outstanding so far this season since he's been moved into the mix. I think Andrew Adams has been a welcome addition to this Titans defense. And without him having to play in coverage, I think that'll allow him to make big tackles more throughout the game. I would not be surprised to see Andrew Adams force a fumble or be involved in a big defensive play. I just love the fact about Andrew Adams. This is what I like about a lot of the Titans defense. Him and Dylan Cole and some of these other guys is that they're not flashy, but they are solid defensive players. Andrew Adams is a great tackler.
Man, he is. Not just a great tackler, but he's always in the right position. I mean, look at when they went against the Colts. The Colts were driving. He makes an interception pick six. It changes the game, and it takes the momentum from where the Indianapolis Colts have. So even though they're not a household name, they're solid players that make plays at the right time. Cole and Adams.
Who is your pick to click on defense? Hooker.
Amani Hooker.
Amani Hooker making his return.
Yeah.
Those are our picks to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. It should be noted, there is a stat called strength of victory in the NFL, and it does matter. So, as John McClain told me on Friday, when the Dolphins annihilate the Texans today, which he is predicting will happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Which the Texans are terrible. The Dolphins will move back into the number two spot in the AFC. Mm-hmm. And you would say to yourself, well, why are the Dolphins ranked ahead of the Titans? And the reason the Dolphins are ranked ahead of the Titans is because of this strength of victory, which is basically what is the winning percentage amongst the teams that you have beaten, not the teams you have played, but the teams that you have beaten. And so the Dolphins will be the number two seed ahead of the Titans because strength of victory. Now, the Titans would be the three seed ahead of Baltimore because of conference victories. It's hard to follow.
I know. So hard.
But
to
if
follow.
You look at strength of victory right now in the AFC, the contenders, Kansas City, 47%. Buffalo, 48%. Baltimore, 45%. Miami, 46%. Cincinnati, 44%. The Jets, 45%. New England, 43%. And then you get to the Chargers and the Colts, who probably aren't going to make the playoffs.
Right.
The Titans are at 36%. So the victories that everybody in the AFC has are better than the Titans. This is an opportunity for the Titans to notch a win against a team that we all believe is a legitimate club.
Yeah, they're a legitimate club, but if you look at the overall teams, I just think that the Titans are a better team overall. I think the defense is better. I'm not saying the quarterback position is better. I think Burrow is better than Tannehill. But if you look at the overall team on offense, defense, special teams, I just think the Titans are overally better.
I would agree. How would you rank the AFC? Right now, the way the seeding is, and let's not assume a Dolphins victory today against the Texans, though. I do think the Dolphins are going to beat the Texans.
Here's my top four.
Kansas City is currently the number one seed.
Yes.
Buffalo, 2. Tennessee, 3. Baltimore, 4. Miami, Cincinnati, and the Jets round out the playoffs.
I got Bills 1. I just think that the Bills are good. I got the Chiefs 2nd, Dolphins 3rd, Titans 4th, Cincy 5th, and Jets 6th.
No love for the Ravens.
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you just stop the quarterback, they have no firepower on offense. You know, they're a team that's just mediocre. I just think that those teams that I named are better.
You know, there's a pretty good chance the Ravens are going to be the number two seed in the AFC, right?
I agree
with you. I don't think the Ravens are going to go to the Super Bowl. But have you seen the rest of their schedule?
What they got?
So where the Titans have to play the Eagles and the Cowboys, and then they have to go on the road to the Chargers, and they have to play the Bengals today. The Ravens' rest of their schedule starts today with Jacksonville
on
the road. No, it's not. Denver at home. They stink.
Yeah, I agree.
At the Steelers.
That's a scary one, big dog.
Stink, although it is a division game and
that's
a rivalry game.
So
at the Browns.
That might be tough.
No. Atlanta at home.
That's going to be tough.
Pittsburgh at home.
Tough.
At the Bengals to end the season.
Tough. Those are tough games,
I will say this.
Man.
I'd much rather play those teams than have to play the Eagles, the Cowboys, and travel to Los Angeles.
Yeah, but look at the Chargers. The Chargers, they look okay.
I think the Chargers are cheeks.
Okay, and look at the – I'm not sold out on the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that – somebody can come in there and beat them. That's just my opinion.
The most likely scenario, according to the New York Times playoff predictor for the Titans, and really 2, 3, and 4 are kind of all even, but the most likely predicament that the Titans find themselves in is the number 4 seed in the AFC, which would mean that the Titans would draw the number 1 wild card in the first game. That could be the Buffalo Bills. I'd much rather not play the Buffalo Bills. Here's what's crazy about the playoff seeding for the rest of the rest of the way.
Yep.
Let's say Miami beats Houston today, which we think they will.
Okay.
Miami will revert to the 2 seed based on that strength of victory, and then Buffalo becomes number 5. If that's the case, the Titans may be in the best situation for them because they would be hosting in the 3 spot, they would be hosting either Cincinnati, New England, or the Jets.
Okay. Ooh.
I think they probably win all 3 of those games.
100%.
Then they would go on the road no matter what happens unless the Dolphins lose their game, they would go on the road to Miami, which would mean no Buffalo or Kansas City in the second round of the playoffs, which I would take.
I would take, too.
I don't think Miami has a great home field. Nope. I think there'd be a lot of Titans fans there. The weather would be good. Tannehill's used to it there. I think and I'm not saying the Dolphins have great players.
Yeah.
Vrabel's going to take Tyreek Hill out of the game. He's going to make Tua beat him with somebody else. I'd like to see it. Then that means that the only way the Titans would have to play Buffalo or Kansas City would be in an AFC championship game. Buffalo would be at home. Kansas City would be on the road. I would take only having to play one of those teams in the AFC playoffs, which is why as things stand right now, that third spot, and if the Ravens take the second spot and the Titans are in the third spot, could be huge.
Ooh.
It makes a game like this so important today.
Ooh, I mean, it is. I mean, the way you set it up is just perfectly, because I would rather see Buffalo or Kansas City in the AFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those other games, I mean, those are winnable games. Look, you got Miami, you got the Jets, you got New England. Those are just, you know, borderline okay teams. So I think that the matchup favors us if that happened that way. But I do not want to see Buffalo you know, playing them first, playing them first and then having to maybe go to Kansas City.
Here's the problem with Buffalo winning the division. If Buffalo wins the AFC East, chances are pretty good that Buffalo probably will be the number two seed in the AFC. If Buffalo's the number two seed, then the Titans would have to go to Buffalo and Kansas City in consecutive weeks to get to the Super Bowl, and I just don't think that's very likely.
It's not likely, but it's possible.
So the better hope would be that the Ravens, for instance, claim that number two seed and the Titans stay with the number three seed.
That's why this
game. And then the Titans would have to go to Baltimore. And I like the Titans' chances against Baltimore.
Right.
I think it would be a pick'em game. I could see the Titans losing to Baltimore.
Right.
I could see the Titans beating Baltimore. But again, the key is the road to the Super Bowl, how to avoid having to play both Kansas City and Buffalo. If you only have to play them once,
absolutely,
I like their chances more so than having to go back-to-back with those two
teams. I mean, I absolutely agree. I would love to play Baltimore. I just think that everybody keeps going back to how Baltimore used to be. This is not the same Baltimore team. Baltimore team is there. They have, you know, the quarterback, which is outstanding, but the overall defense is not the same. The overall offense is not the same. I understand they got a great tight end in Andrews, but other than that, who scares you on offense?
I haven't watched a lot of Baltimore. I feel like they're a one-man team.
They're a one-man? That's what I'm saying. No, they got another guy, the tight end Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
He's a good tight end, but other than that, who scares you? You got Bateman, that's a wide receiver, but he's always hurt. So I would rather play them, or Miami, or New England, because I think that we match up with them very, very well.
Now, there's a lot of guys on Miami who scare me.
Yeah, but you take
it. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle.
Okay. But the guy's got to throw you the ball. If they put pressure in his face, he's going to throw interceptions and get rattled.
He's only lost one game this year that he started, and he got concussed and knocked out of the game.
Thank you very
through.
Much. That's what I'm saying.
So he's only started one game and lost it. He barely even played
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the final line, plus Mike Vrabel's keys to the game and our final game day predictions. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, it's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Again, great drink specials here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge every football day, whether it's Monday night, Thursday night, and, of course, all day on Sundays. And they got the great cabanas here for you with private viewing parties. And, of course, they got Sunday tickets, so they'll be ready to rock and roll. Time now for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game for the Titans today. And we start off with the fact that Mike Vrabel says, Chris Sanders,
yes, sir,
this is not a revenge game, no matter what happened last year.
This is not a revenge game. More than half of our team didn't even play in that game. But I think trying to have some familiarity with who they are, have a lot of respect for them, obviously, in all three phases. Sure, they're still going to try to get the ball to their elite skill players and whoever those may be based on availability. Defensively, they're going to make it tough for you, and very, very good front and aggressive secondary.
No revenge game after the playoffs last year. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree. I think it is a revenge game, and even though he may not say it, but as being a competitor, I'm trying to beat the brakes off you. I mean, I really am, and I'm not just saying that to be funny, but you knocked me out of the playoffs. You took away something that I was trying to obtain. That's to get to the Super Bowl. So even though he may not say it's not a revenge game, but he's going to want to go out there and send a statement that we're the better team. I guarantee you. I know what he said is great, and I respect, you know, Coach Vrabel, but that's Coach Stark. you better believe he, in the back of his mind, he's putting together a game plan to beat the brakes off the Cincinnati Bengals.
So I actually agree with him, only because when I look back to last year's playoff game, I don't think it really had anything to do with Cincinnati. I think 100%. It had everything to do with 100%. Ryan Tannehill throwing three interceptions. Right. And so I think the Titans look in the mirror after their playoff loss. I don't think Cincinnati said anything. I don't think Cincinnati did anything that would, you know, raise to the level of anger. Right. Was I jealous that they were in the Super Bowl and the Titans weren't? Yes, I was. Right. But it doesn't change my feeling about Cincinnati. I look at it as the Titans need to stay in line with the rest of the AFC, pick up a victory today, and go out there and beat a good team, because they haven't done that this year.
And I'm not saying it's a personal thing. I'm just saying, you know, that they want to send a statement.
But isn't revenge personal?
It really is. I mean, it really is. But
that takes us to Mike Vrabel's second key to the game, which is running the ball and protecting the football.
Well, we did at times against this team, but just not effectively enough consistently through four quarters, and then take care of it. We've talked about the turnover margin and how critical that's going to be. But we know where our strength is, and that's running the football, and we've got to be creative, but we also have to lean on Derek and get going.
Derrick Henry, again, five consecutive games over 100 yards, has not had a 100-yard game for the last two against Denver and Green Bay. Last year, coming off the foot injury, did not look like Derrick Henry in the playoffs against Cincinnati. Vrabel saying straight up, we need to run it and we need to protect it. What do you make of that?
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely want to run the ball because, you know, Derrick Henry's been running with force. And I think sometimes, you know, we think Derrick didn't have a big game because he didn't have 100 yards. We got to look at the whole scenario of what went on. If you look at the Packers game, they were more of a balanced offense. The games before that, it was all Derek, run the ball, screens and all that. But now since they have a balanced offense with throwing the ball better with Burks and Woods, those guys catching the ball, then now it eliminates some of the carries that Derrick Henry would have. So that's kind of deceiving by him not having 200 100-yard games.
Last year, Derrick in the playoffs, 20 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown, 3.1 yards per carry on the average. Against Cincinnati and Zach Taylor in 2020, so the same squad, Derrick Henry 18 for 112 and a touchdown, an average of 6.2. Yeah. So Derrick basically doubled up his yards per carry when he was healthy in his 2,000-yard season compared to coming off the foot injury. Which Derrick do you expect to see more of today?
I think we're going to see the 200-yard rusher, because if you look at the last couple of weeks that Derrick's running the ball, he's staying in front of the chains. I mean, he's having those punishing runs. And if you look at later on in the game, when he gets to the second level of the defense, even in the third level, which is the secondary, those secondary guys do not want to tackle him because he's coming with so much steam. So even though the last 2 weeks he didn't have 100 yards, he still have an impact in the run game because he's standing in front of the chains.
Time now to take a look at the final line presented by our friends at Superbook Sports, voted the number one sportsbook app in Vegas. Download their app today. The Cincinnati Bengals opened as a 3-point favorite.
That's crazy.
Then yesterday, or Friday I should say, the line shifted to 2 in favor of Cincinnati. The line has now shifted to 1. So Cincinnati is a 1-point favorite today. Yeah. The line has dropped by 2 points, though, which means money is coming in on the Titans.
Right.
But still Vegas favoring Cincinnati.
I think it's a slap in the face to the Titans. I mean, I think the Titans are a better team overall. I understand, you know, Burrow is a great quarterback. But you're losing to your weapons. You got Mixon and you got, you know, Jamar Chase out. So he's not going to be productive like he was last year in the game.
All right, let's make our final game day predictions here. Chris Sanders, who wins today and why? Titans and Bengals, noon today on CBS. Who wins and why?
I don't think it's going to be close.
What I told you earlier today?
I know.
I said that was your opinion last year, and you were wrong. You can't have the same opinion if you were wrong last time,
well,
right?
Well, I think the Titans are going to beat the Cincinnati Bengals 24-10. And the reason why I say that is the way our defense is playing. Our front is playing well. We're getting a lot of guys back. Amani Hooker's back. Guys that are making plays in the secondary. So I think with our defense, don't give up the explosive plays. I think the Tennessee Titans win 24-10. Let's go, Tennessee Titans.
I am going to go with the Tennessee Titans 28, the Cincinnati Bengals 27, Caleb Shudak last second field goal. I think the Titans are going to win. That's going to do it for us. Again, we'll be back next week ahead of the Titans and the Eagles on the pregame show. Enjoy your football Sunday live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. This has been the pregame show.
Yes, sir.
A 102.5, 106.3 The Game.